Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
That is just a fact of life.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history, Pedro Fernandez.
Woo, it's going to be good.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar sports byline studios in San Francisco. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Straight up on the Twitch end, the camera's down, so we're not doing live video today, but this, of course, is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're often imitated but never duplicated inside look into the world of boxing and MMA to an extent. Of course, my name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host, a four-time Golden Glove champion, award-winning writer, so allegedly, supposedly, people say I know a little bit about boxing. But for the most part, I've always found out the average fan knows a little bit more. They have their own insight. So if you'd like to join us on the toll-free, you can right now. Here's the invite. 1-800-878-7529. The toll-free, once again, 1-800-878-7529. Of course, there's also the guilt-free, no-commitment text line. You can text us here in the studio. 415-275-1613. This text line, once again, 415-275-1613. Well, we're hours away. Of course, the ESPN battle for the World Junior Welterweight Championship. Check it out tonight. ESPN, it's going to be a battle. Jose Ramirez, of course, and Josh Taylor. We got the UK coming over here. And of course, the Mexican-American Jose Ramirez, a good fighter, undefeated. Josh Taylor, an excellent fighter. This is going to be like a coin toss type of fight. You got people leaning one way, people leaning another way, but nobody really coming out and saying, this is what I think is going to happen. So it's a coin toss type of fight, which we need in boxing, of course, to have people tune in and say, who's going to win? Who's going to win? That's what boxing's all about, not watching some guy get showcased. Of course, Manny Pacquiao and Errol Spence. Manny Pacquiao biting off too much at 42 years old. We'll talk about that. Tyson Fury going to do a Deontay Wilder third fight. Do we really want to see that? Regurgitate it one more time? Bottom line is, that's what's happening. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, WBC Boxing TV, sans the camera.
I don't want to predict this fight, but, you know, I'm going to promise that I can give a good fight, you know, to make people happy, and I just do my best.
He always does his best, but at 42 years old, can Manny Pacquiao really step it up and take on a guy by the name of Errol Spence? Of course, the undefeated lad from Texas, current welterweight title holder, of course, undefeated, having flipped the car about a year and a half ago, flipped the car a few times at 105 miles per hour, something like that. Flew out of the car, bounced on the ground a few times. Of course, I thought there would be residual effects. They have yet to come to surface, because in his last fight, he did look okay. Bottom line is, Errol Spence and Manny Pacquiao, of course, going to hook it up. Pacquiao, now, what's he, 62-7, like a couple of draws, 39 KOs, of course, a champion from 112 pounds all the way to 154 pounds. I mean, Manny's done it all. What has Manny not done? Straight up, he hasn't beat a guy like Errol Spence at 42 years old. At this point in time, we take it to the East Coast and bring in the Bronx Bomber. I'm talking about boxing's PhD, Mr. Socrates Palmer. And Sock, is that a tall order for Manny Pacquiao?
Extremely tall order, especially, like you said, he's 42 years old. It'd be easy. I don't think I'd be going out on a limb saying that the best of Manny Pacquiao's career is behind him, you know, but Manny Pacquiao has given a lot to the sport, and I think that I've always feel that great athletes always have that one final bit of magic left in them. And Errol Spence, the Errol Spence fight has come because it was like a last resort. I mean, there's no secret that Manny Pacquiao has aspirations of being the president of the Philippines. Originally, he was supposed to fight Conor McGregor. That didn't happen. Ryan Garcia, they tried with Terrence Crawford, and Errol Spence was hanging around. You know, it's probably the least in the payday that he's probably going to get, because Errol doesn't have the same magnitude as McGregor and Garcia probably. And he's probably the hardest out of all those fights. So it's going to be a very tall order for Manny Pacquiao, but one that I think that Manny is going to surprise some people. I think he's going to have a good showing August 21st. I don't think he's going to be a walkthrough.
You know, you get beat by punches you don't see. Take it from me. And Manny Pacquiao's left cross is a punch that somehow he's able to hide it. I mean, early on, he was a one-trick pony. All he had was the left cross. I mean, the first time against Barrera and things like that early in his career, early in his professional run as a champion, 122, 126 pounds. But from that point forward, Freddie Roach sort of developed him into a pretty complete fighter. He's got more than just that, that left cross. He's got a decent jab, and of course he doubles up on that, and he hooks as well. So Manny Pacquiao, the complete fighter, against a possibly damaged Errol Spence. Errol Spence, of course, 27-0, 21 KOs. At the end of the day, he still flipped out of that car at 115 miles an hour. I mean, the residual effects, they didn't come to play in his last fight, but I'm telling you, man, I don't know. Danny Garcia is not Manny Pacquiao.
Exactly. Danny Garcia has become the stepping stone for the welterweight division. I mean, he's there. You know he's going to show up. He's going to punch in the clock. But is he really going to go out and try to win the fight? His track record says no. And he had moments that he could have stepped on the gas, and he was just content to go the distance. He fought a safe fight and lost pretty comfortably. Manny Pacquiao is not going to do that. He'll either shock the world or go out face first, like the way he did against Marquez. But if you look at Errol Spence's track record, what's his biggest win? When he first beat Kell Brook had, just like his countryman, Billy Joe Saunders, came off a fractured eye socket. In less than a year, he took that fight. He fought Golovkin in 2016, got busted up, never the same. And then in May of 2017, he gets thrown against Errol Spence in a competitive fight up until a point, and Errol Spence took care of a damaged fighter. Then after that, what's his other big win? Sean Porter. Sean Porter is a very good fighter, but he's not a great fighter by any stretch. And then Chris Algieri, a natural 140-pounder. Errol Spence carried Mikey Garcia, a chubby lightweight, for 12 rounds. I mean, either that fight was fixed, or Errol Spence is not that good. I'm going to jump out the window with that. Mm. You know, he was supposed to annihilate Mikey Garcia. After the second or third round, you saw Mikey Garcia had no business being in that ring, and he went 12 rounds. So that's what gives me the thought that, there's no need to fear for Manny Pacquiao's life in this fight, like some people are probably going to say. And he's going to be a live underdog.
Okay. Speaking of live underdogs and guys getting you to cross the finish line, where's Alex Ariza when Manny Pacquiao needs him? Now, he was suspected of giving Manny suspect milkshakes and all this kind of good stuff. But let's be honest, when he was with Manny, when Manny was with him, he moved up in weight and was able to beat bigger guys in fights that we sort of like were dismayed by.
Well, Alex Ariza, to my knowledge, has never had a fighter test positive. I mean, he also worked with Amir Khan, and that was Amir Khan's best years with Manny Pacquiao. Were when he was training with Alex Ariza and Freddie Roach. So, listen, he's 42, but he is not the natural. He's not the typical 42-year-old with Xbox in his hand eating donuts. Manny Pacquiao is an athlete, and he's always in shape. It's going to be about 2 years between the Thurman fight and this one coming up. I don't know if they still speak, if they're, I know that when the breakup with Ariza and Freddie Roach happened, Manny was started training with, I forget the South African heavyweight. He's got a gym. Help me out. He fought Lennox Lewis back in the day. I can't remember his name.
Yeah, I know. Keep going.
He was working with him, but I do know that they still are cordial, and I don't know if he's going to be working with Manny in this fight. Ironically, the last time Ariza and Manny were next to each other, Ariza was working with Floyd Mayweather, so when they fought. So I don't know if that's a factor at all, but regardless, Manny's going to definitely have to be in the best shape of his career to pull off a historic upset.
Okay, speaking of Floyd Mayweather, one of his gifted fighters, talk about Tank Davis, Gervonta Davis, 24 and zip, 23 KOs, guy that gets in trouble outside the ring, a tad. Taking on Mario Barrios out of Texas, 26 and zip, 17 wax, the WBA champion at 140. They're going to go down on pay-per-view June 26th. I got to ask you, Davis on pay-per-view and Davis at 140 pounds, two different questions.
Mm. We're going to find out. I mean, Tank is very talented. You know, he seems to be his own worst enemy, getting himself in trouble outside the ring. I don't know much about Mr. Berrios, but I know he's the naturally bigger man, and he has a trinket. But it should be a very interesting contest. Tank is fighting a guy that's bigger naturally, but Tank is just a super talent, you know. So I would be shocked if he doesn't beat Berrios.
Okay, look at the guys from South Africa that Lennox Lewis fought. Franz Botha?
No. What's this guy's name? He trained with Freddie Roach too.
Zelko Maverick.
Is he South African?
Justin Fortune.
There you go, Justin Fortune.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
He's
Australian?
Yeah, I don't know. He's come up with some magic shakes too, hasn't he?
I don't know. I have to do a deep dive with him. But, you know, regardless, his best years were with, you know, when it was Team Ariza and Freddie Roach. Okay. You know, that's without a doubt. I mean, he ran through Miguel Cotto, Ricky Hatton, Margarito, Claudi, Oscar. You know, I mean, he was just historic beatdowns, you know, now. But then again, we're talking about 15 years ago, just about, it seems. Yeah. You know, it was a long, long time ago.
You know, I was with Cotto.
Tremendous wins.
I was with Cotto. I think we were in Cartagena, Colombia, and I had him by a pool. And we sat down, we were talking. I waited like 25, 30 minutes into the conversation before I brought up Manny Pacquiao. I said, man, I said, how did you, you know, did it blow your mind getting beat up by a smaller guy? Cause it would have blown my mind cause I couldn't even fathom it. Okay. And he looked at me and he goes, yeah, he goes, you know, I've never been hit that hard in my entire life. I mean, whether it was a southpaw stance, the fact that he got hit with punches he didn't see or not, but you know, Manny Pacquiao said he hit the hardest of anybody.
Well, speed is power, and Manny has some of the fastest hands we've ever seen, you know, and it's, he is in the conversation of the all-time greats. That's without a doubt. And it's amazing that at 42 that he's taking this type of challenge while the guy that historically has been his contemporary is fighting YouTubers and MMA guys. And 16-year-old kickboxers from Japan.
You know, I think we can say this. He's the greatest representative of boxing since Muhammad Ali.
I totally co-sign that.
You are tuned to Ring Talk Live. We're all right. AKA WBC Boxing TV sounds. The camera straight up. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Tower to the break.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
We don't back down from nobody.
Hold on.
We can take it in the street if you want to.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
How did I get up from the knockdowns? I don't know.
Tyson Fury, the world linear heavyweight champion, of course, undefeated, having knocked out Mr. Deontay Wilder in the rematch after scoring a somewhat controversial draw the first time around. The bottom line is an arbitrator has ruled in the past week that these guys must beat in the third fight. Usually when boxing gets involved in arbitration, it's always non-binding arbitration. That sort of means you could tell an arbitrator to go jump in the lake if you want, okay? But somehow they got into a binding arbitration. Somebody got smart and put binding arbitration in the contract for as far as a third fight was concerned. Of course, they prevailed this week. I'm talking about Team Wilder. And, of course, they will match up against Tyson Fury in the summertime. Of course, on pay-per-view or on DAZN, we haven't figured out where that's going to go. But the bottom line is this third fight is happening. Now, to expect anything different from Deontay Wilder, the third fight, from the second fight or the first fight, would be a little bit insane because the bottom line is he probably lost all but a couple of rounds of the 19 they fought together. That being said, we take it back to the East Coast. And, of course, the Bronx Bomber himself, Mr. Socrates Palmer, boxing's PhD. Sock, Binding arbitration. It hasn't prevailed in boxing in a long time. I was trying to think about the last time an arbitration order prevailed as far as a big fight was concerned, because guys are usually able to pay guys off, give them like, you know, a few million bucks, and they go away.
Right. Yeah. I mean, guys do take that step aside money. And I believe Deontay Wilder was involved with one of those, giving, step aside money. I can't remember exactly when. I don't know if it was in the Bremen's Tavern or something like that, but, I am with you. I don't think that we're going to see anything different from, the previous two fights. I mean, you could definitely make the case that Tyson Fury, won both fights, you know, despite the first time not getting the decision. The only reason they fought Tyson Fury the first time was because they thought that he was still a coked up, fat dude with mental health issues, you know, and there was a big surprise waiting. And then when they had the rematch, Tyson Fury gave one of the historic beatdowns in heavyweight history. So I see Deontay Wilder has a new trainer, a buddy of his, Malik Scott, who, by the way, makes Greg Louganis blush with the dive he took in Puerto Rico several years ago.
Ooh.
Ooh. I mean, I'm calling this, I mean, that was putrid.
Now, who did he take the dive? Uh-huh. You're going to talk about him taking an alleged dive. Who did he take the alleged dive against?
The same guy that he's on the internet now holding his pads, Deontay Wilder, Malik Scott, heavyweight from New Jersey, with a very inflated record until he fought somebody, and then he caught a first loss. I think he was Ray Austin. I think he might have fought. Or, mm-hmm. Anyways, no, you know, he's getting into Canastota the same way I am, buying a ticket. Anyways, so he fights Deontay Wilder in Puerto Rico on the undercard of Danny Garcia, who Danny got booed out the arena because he got a gift decision against the Mexican fighter. I actually can't remember him, but he took a dive. Most people think, and if that fight happened in the United States, in Vegas, or whatever, they would have withheld his purse. You know, that was egregious. But anyways, so now he's training Malik Scott is training Deontay Wilder. And after every excuse from Deontay Wilder's camp about the gloves and the suit being too heavy and Mark Breland stopping the fight too soon, and then he gets rid of his coach from the amateurs.
Oh, time out. You forgot about him putting Valiums in the water.
Oh, right. The volumes in the water. I mean, everything. I mean, it was raining excuses, you know. So now he's training with a friend who's going to keep him in his comfort zone. You know, is he really going to push Deontay Wilder to change anything about him? Come on. I don't see that happening. But the one intangible that he has is the one tangible that he has is a tremendous right hand, but he throws it from Mississippi, and I believe Tyson Fury will see that coming, and that's the only way he's got a shot to beat Fury.
He is the quintessential one-trick pony.
Oh, without a doubt. He is, you can make the argument, maybe since Primo Carnera. I mean, has there ever been a less skilled heavyweight champion?
Oh, my God, man, Deontay Wilder fan club, you're not a president of that one, I can tell. Cool, man, to match him up there with Primo Carnera, of course, Primo is alleged to have gotten to the heavyweight championship by default. In other words, the mob sort of fixed a lot of his fights, so I don't know if that's going to really true or not, but the bottom line is this thing. Anyway, I'll go on. Oh, here's a quick question came in from you. Ask Boxing's PhD what he thinks of Virgil Hunter, the trainer, the guy that who worked with Andre Ward, and then I'll jump in. Go on.
Well, Virgil Hunter, I mean, he had a great run with Andre Ward, and I believe he traded Amir Khan for a little bit. He's a cool cat in that corner. You know, he seems like a real teacher. He takes boxing serious. He's not a guy that's going to rah-rah, panic in the corner. He seems like a coach that you need in a big fight. And I believe recently he made some comments that he thinks Andre would have had no problems with Canelo Alvarez if they fought.
Yeah, well, you're talking about a guy that probably, you know, maxed out at one, I mean, was 168 pounder as far as his peak was concerned, against a guy that was probably maybe 150 or 160 pounder. So there were size differences, no doubt about that, and size matters, and everything, of course, including pornography and combat sports. Speaking of tonight, size, two guys going at it, same size, 140-pound champions. Talk about Jose Ramirez, 26 and zip. Of course, Josh Taylor, 17 and zip. The UK versus the Mexican-American battling on ESPN, of course, from Las Vegas. What's going to happen here?
Wow. You know, I almost feel sorry for these guys because the last 48 hours of news has kind of put them completely in the back burner. But this is an excellent fight. It's really a pick'em. Josh Taylor, who I thought, you know, had one of the upsets of the year when he beat Regis Prograis, to win the tournament. And he's got some pretty good wins. I mean, if you look at his resume, despite only 17 fights, it's a real, real interesting fight. They're both about the same size. I saw that the weigh-in got a little testy. Apparently, Ramirez's manager said some things on the internet. Josh Taylor didn't take too kindly. But Ramirez has probably that X factor, which is the punching power. And he's under the tutelage of one of the best coaches right now, Robert Garcia. And I'm leaning towards Garcia, but it really, I mean, I'm leaning towards Ramirez, but it's really a coin flip of a fight. It should be one for the ages because they both get hit a lot and both throw a lot of punches.
Okay, so and if Tank Davis wins on in June 26th, of course, on pay-per-view against Mr. Barrios, I guess that makes him a player at 140 pounds. But I ask this, are they rushing this fight with Davis at 140 pounds because they think they can't get him down to 130 real quick and they're trying to get a payday in line before possibly jail time or something like that? Or will Floyd buy his way out of this? Of course, Floyd Mayweather writing the checks for Gervonta Davis. Will he just buy his way out of this much like John Jones bought his way out of that accident in New Mexico?
Your guess is as good as mine. I don't think that it will say that Gervonta Davis will remain at 140. I think it probably see Barrios as the easiest fight at 140, you know, and I can see Gervonta jumping back down to 135 because he's really short, you know. I mean, I don't think that it would be wise for him to stay at 140 unless completely, you know, they're avoiding Teofimo Lopez, but they're both in like two different worlds, you know. One's okay. PBC, the other one's top rank Triller. So will they ever hook it up? Probably not while they're in their prime.
Short text coming in here for the boxing's PhD. Vasyl Lomachenko. Pedro says he hasn't been seen except on milk cartons lately. Is he going to do something soon? Question mark.
Yes, he's got a good fight coming up against a Japanese fighter.
He's going to have
be back on his Itani's not a chump, you know. He
knocked out the wife killer.
He did.
The girlfriend killer.
He ended Felix Verdejo's boxing career, you know,
than one. And Felix Verdejo ended his own life.
Yeah.
He ain't never getting out. Puerto Ricans want to, Puerto Ricans get serious at the wrestling matches. They think wrestling's real in Puerto Rico, okay? They sort of got the same thing with Mr. Verdejo. They don't want him out, and if he does, they're gonna hurt him.
Yeah, no, I think his safest spot may be in jail. You know, maybe in prison.
In Puerto Rico, but, yes.
Yeah, and truthfully, you know, you hope that he's put under the jail. You know, he's a scumbag.
Bottom line is, I want to mention this real quick before we go. June 13th. Of course, the day that Harold Lederman passed, Mr. Espedito Martinez passed on the same day. I just want to mention that. Harold was a class act. I miss him, man. Nobody will ever replace Harold Lederman, will they?
Oh, no. He is synonymous with HBO boxing and one of the nicest men you ever wanted. You would have had the pleasure of meeting.
Boxing right, only PhD, Socrates Palmer, live on Sports Byline and WBC Boxing TV. This is Ring Talk.
You're listening to Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC, right here on Sports Byline.
I'll be right. You going to run the one more?
5:30.
It's Saturday night.
Ray Charles Leonard giving me a bad time in Florida about jogging with him in the morning because there was no jogging with Sugar Ray. It was all about running. I mean, we ran for the first 2.5 miles and a good decent pace. I said to myself, yeah, I can keep up with his ass here. Ray, you ain't all that much, right? Then the last half mile came and the 2.5 mile part, he took off in a sprint and he sprinted so fast. I mean, he disappeared from sight, and they had a van following us, right? So the van just left me and went with the star. I couldn't even see the van anymore. I'm telling you, that's how far that Ray Leonard, that's how much of a distance Ray Leonard put between me and the finish line for that last half mile. So what I'm trying to say is that the greatest welterweight in the history of boxing, of course, Ray Charles Leonard, born after his namesake, Ray Charles, according to his mother. He turned, 64 years old this week, of course, his birthday. Bottom line is, Ray was, I said, the greatest welterweight of all time, and people are going to kill me as far as these old-time boxing purists and this and that, but he'd have beat Sugar Ray Robinson. I mean, he would have beat Walker Smith Jr., the man bought Walker Smith. I mean, Ray Robinson was fast, and he was unique for his time and this and that, but he wasn't all that fast and unique to the 80s. What I'm trying to say is if he'd have come around 40 years later, I'm not trying to say he wouldn't be champion. I'm trying to say that Ray Leonard would beat Sugar Ray Robinson. That's just how the way I look at it. Bottom line is, I think Ray Leonard was greater than Ray Robinson. People say to me, you're out of your mind, but that's just the way I see it. Anyway, it's time to talk about, of course, Ernie Terrell. Ernie Terrell, and it came into the news this week, of course, Ernie Terrell, the former heavyweight title holder of the WBA for a minute. Of course, Muhammad Ali and him had that fight where he in the Houston Astrodome where Ernie said he was going to call him Cassius Clay. He said, why do you want to call me Cassius Clay? Well, my name is Muhammad Ali. He says, I'm going to call you Clay. And of course, Ali throughout the fight kept saying, what's my name? As he pounded on this man like a bongo drum. Probably one of the most, mean performances. I mean, it was just mean performances by Muhammad Ali ever in his career. Of course, Ernie Terrell, retiring at 46-9, lost to Chuck Wepner and Jeff Merritt in his last two fights. 46-9, 21 KOs, got stopped the two times. The reason why I bring up Ernie Terrell is that Ernie, of course, disrespected Muhammad Ali, went into depth disrespecting him, and at the end of the day, I had him in Canasota, New York, the International Boxing Hall of Fame in the 1990s, and of course, he was there with Jimmy Ellis, a former WBA heavyweight title holder, and of course, a sparring partner of Muhammad Ali as well. Jimmy Ellis was trying to sing. Jimmy couldn't hold a note. Jimmy was like me and Scott Cuddy. He couldn't hold a note if you put it in an envelope and put it in his hand. That's just the way it is. We can't sing, okay? But he couldn't sing a lick. But Ernie Terrell was there, and then Terrell was telling me the reason why I kept telling Muhammad Ali that his name was Cassius Clay was it never entered my mind the possibility, the remote, I never thought about him beating me. I was so much bigger than him, I could never imagine him beating me. Well, of course, Ali beat him like a drum for 15 rounds. At the end of the day, Ernie Terrell learned, but he learned the hard way. Now, somebody just shot me another text. Virgil Hunter. What do I think of Virgil Hunter? I think Virgil Hunter's a good corner, man. I don't know how good of a trainer he is. Of course, he had the anointed great one. I'm talking about Andre Ward. I mean, Andre Ward, I think, would have excelled just about with any trainer. That's how special Andre was and is. I mean, even though the 2004 Olympic gold medalist told me he'd be out of boxing by the year 2012, now he's teasing a possible comeback fight with Canelo Alvarez, saying that he could beat Alvarez, blah, 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 blah. And I think the key to, if this fight was to happen, I think that Canelo and those guys would bring Andre Ward down to 168 pounds. Of course, you would only have to have, you would want to have one or two, tune-up fights as far as Andre Ward's concerned in order to be in the best condition. But the way Team Canelo and these guys will want to put it, according to Hector Martinez, of course, him being the former boxing manager of Roberto Duran, so he knows a little bit about the boxing business, he would say that, no, Team Canelo say, one fight with us at 168 pounds, you get down to 168 pounds, and we'll do it. So that's what's happening as far as that fight is concerned. Now, I do want to mention the fact that Andre Ward looks a lot different on television for the past couple of months than he did about 6 months ago. 6 months ago, he looked like Andre Ward eating a lot of cupcakes. And in the last few weeks, in the last few broadcasts, you see him on ESPN and the like, he looks pretty trim. He looks pretty tall, pretty trim. So what I'm trying to tell you is he is coming back, no doubt. I think he's coming back. Anyway, he wants that kind of money. I mean, he could make more money in a Canelo fight if they split up the money the right way and he gets a good cut than he made in his entire career. Cause let's be honest, Andre Ward never reached the peak and the heights that I thought he was going to reach. I mean, yes, he was undefeated. Yes, he was a champion in two divisions, 168 pounds and 175 pounds. And of course, the first Kovalev fight, a bit shaky, but he came back and he beat the snot out of Kovalev in the rematch. So he definitely showed that he was a dominant of the two athletes. And of course, and then he called it a day. Of course, this is a guy that's got a cadaver's ACL. That's your anterior cruciate ligament. That's in your leg. Okay, and he's got a cadaver. In other words, he ripped it out because Andre used to do all kinds of crazy stuff training. He would pull cars and push cars around parking lots and push trucks around parking lots, that kind of stuff. Anyway, he tore his Achilles tendon, and they replaced it with the Achilles tendon of a dead man. You know, they do this kind of stuff. Anyway, he's like the $6 million man. So he's been put back together by doctors time and again. I think he had some shoulder problems, some knee problems, some hand problems. So Andre Ward is like the $6 million man. But the bottom line is he can make a lot more than $6 million if he was to come back and fight Canelo Alvarez. That's just the way I see it. Straight up, I really see it that way. Do I think he's coming back? If he can work the numbers out with Canelo, he will come back. There's no way he's going to turn that kind of money down. Hey, I want to mention this. Somebody asked me last week who I thought was the greatest manager in all of boxing. Well, you know, boxing managers are all different. Shelly Finkel, of course, the guy that had the 1984 Olympic boxing team. He had a lot of stars, so he probably was going to go south with that kind of talent, no doubt about that. But there was a guy in Las Vegas that ran a jeweler. He was Elvis Presley's jeweler. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is I've got a friend of mine named Rooster. We call him Elvis. And he was asking about Elvis this week. And I said, okay, I'll talk about Elvis on the show. Anyway, Alex Fried was Elvis's jeweler. And Alex would run the jewelry shop. It was called The Jeweler. And they had four or five different locations in Las Vegas. And the one location in which Elvis frequented was in the lobby of the Hilton Hotel, because Elvis had the penthouse in the Hilton Hotel. Of course, that was the place where Elvis put aluminum foil over the windows to sort of make it always dark and that kind of good stuff. So, you know, because he slept in the daytime and he partied at night. Anyway, after Elvis would have a show, he would pick some chick out of the crowd. I'm not kidding you either. He would pick some young lady out of the crowd. They would go to his room and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And the next day he would take her down to Alex Fried's jewelry shop, and he would buy her a bracelet, a diamond bracelet, like, you know, something like 8-10 grand. He said, Alex told me that he never spent less than 10 grand on a girl. So I guess that's what you're paying for tricks. That Elvis was giving these girls $10,000 gifts after having sex with them at the Las Vegas Hilton. Anyway, the reason why I'm also bringing this up is that Alex Fried was a guy in World War II. Of course, he was a Jew, and he was put into a concentration camp. And he talked to me about that. I saw the numbers on his arm. We used to drive around Las Vegas in his old, like, 1980s, Cadillac Seville. And we used to drive around his old Seville with the air conditioning on, of course, and he always used to have it low. Why do you have your car low, Alex? But he did. He had his car low, you know, like the second gear instead of drive. Anyway, that was Alex Fried. But he had the numbers on his arm, and he talked to me about being in the concentration camp. Never thought he'd ever get out. Had some relatives die in the same concentration camp that he survived. So he was, like, lucky to do that. And then when I met him, he was doing, obviously, the jeweler thing. And then Elvis had passed, and he was still running the jewelers in Las Vegas. But he found himself another avenue of a recreation. That was being a boxing manager and a boxing promoter. He called it AF Productions, or AF Promotions, down there in Las Vegas. Of course, a lot of guys got upset because Alex didn't care if he made any money or not. In other words, you know, it didn't matter. He's a jeweler. He'd write it off. Listen, a lot of times people say to me, you know, that guy's losing money. Yeah, but his guy's making money somewhere else. In other words, if a guy's making money as a mortgage broker, making big money as a mortgage broker, he can afford to lose money as a boxing promoter. That's just the way it does. And that's the way it goes down in a lot of sports. No doubt about it, a lot of business. But at the end of the day, Alex Fried was a hero to me. And I do want to bring up, I thought he was like the greatest manager ever. Why? Because he survived those concentration camps, and he paid fighters good money. I mean, Alex wasn't one of those guys that he had to have his cut, this and that. I mean, he really, really reached out for the fighters. So I really want to give him some props. I'm glad I was able to do that. Manny Pacquiao, Errol Spence, getting some texts in here. I got three or four texts here. Okay. Of course, they're going to hook it up August the 21st. I wish Manny Pacquiao the best. Of course, he's got to get himself in top condition. 42 years old. He always comes in shape. Errol Spence, the guy that flipped that car about a year and a half ago. I'm just not a big Spence fan. I don't know why. And, you know, being a guy that knows a little bit about cannabis, Spence always looks like he's buzzed to me. I kid you not. He always looks like he's a little bit buzzed. Anyway, I think he's buzzed from the car accident. I just do. I don't think that's a tough way to go. You get flipped out of a car 105 miles per hour. I don't think you ever recover as far as your, I think there will always be residual effects in that car accident. Now, it's Manny Pacquiao's job to exploit that. In other words, to hit him on the chin or to hit him a couple of times with shots that he doesn't see and then discombobulate Mr. Spence. That'll be the key to the fight. If he can hit Spence a couple of times with shots that he doesn't see and shake him up, he can move in and go for the kill. And you know, 9 out of 10 times, a little Filipino, when he's rocking and rolling, baby, and throwing combinations in succession, he gets you. He's heavy-handed, no doubt about that. I mean, at the end of the day, what is he? 62-7, 39 KOs, a couple of draws. You can't take away from his performances. You really can't. I mean, I picked against him. I mean, Hector and I would bet, and I would, like, Ricky Hatton. Ricky Hatton's going to kill him. You know, Ricky Hatton couldn't lick a snap if you wet his tongue, and I knew that, but it was size. I was always going with size because size matters in two things, pornography and combat sports. So I figured for sure the size was going to prevail here. And I kept saying, you know, he's moving up the weight. He's fighting bigger guys because I just couldn't imagine a guy personally, me, myself, I couldn't imagine a guy coming from 107 pounds or 170 pounds as a pro and like 18, 19 years old and then fighting me later on at 147 pounds and being of the same size, being of the same body mass, being able to compete. But not only was he able to compete, he was able to smoke those guys like New York City Blunts. I mean, Manny, I mean, Cotto. I mean, yikes, man. He tore apart Margarito. I mean, Margarito, of course, coming off the Plaster of Paris hand pads and that kind of good stuff. But he tore apart Margarito. Nobody was dispatching Mr. Margarito, whether it was the hand pads or not. He was a tough foe, no doubt about that. But at the end of the day, Manny Pacquiao has to be recognized, I think, as the greatest fighter of the past since Ali. I mean, if you want to say Ali, what? Ali retired in 1980, 1981. But the greatest fighter thus far and at the latter stages of the 21st century and the 20th century and the early parts of the 21st century. I mean, you can't compare his resume to Floyd Mayweather and say that Floyd's a better fighter. I mean, Floyd's fought a lot of guys and Floyd's made a lot of money and Floyd beat Manny Pacquiao, but much like Mike Tyson, and I feel the same way. I would want to, there's no Floyd Mayweather fights I want to see again. I mean, I don't want to see him again. It would be like eating a sandwich over and over again. You don't want to eat the sandwich. You don't want to throw the sandwich up and then eat it again, regurgitate and eat it. You don't want to do that. So you don't watch Mayweather fights again. But you watch Manny Pacquiao fights, even if it was him getting flattened by Juan Manuel Marquez. Of course, I mean, that third fight, of course, Marquez was offered $100 million to come back and fight Manny Pacquiao a fourth time, allegedly, and he turned it down. But Hector, speaking of Hector, I'm giving him some props today, but Hector brought up the fact that Larry Merchant said on this show that, that Juan Manuel Marquez for that third fight with, Manny Pacquiao, that he had, quote, new muscles, end of quote. Yeah. I guess he did have new muscles, no doubt about that. But he was a winner that night, and he's been a winner throughout, 62-7, of course. Wow. Earl Spence crossed the ring. Earl Spence, a taller guy, 5'9", probably about 5'5". As Manny Pacquiao, so he's going to give up about 3 or 4 inches in height. He's got a left-hander he's going against, but then again, Manny Pacquiao's a left-hander. So who knows, you know, when two left-handers go at it, it's not too often that they do that. But when two left-handers go at it, it's a little bit unusual for both guys, so you usually get to figure things out. And I told you, fighting a left-hander, even if you're left-handed, is stressful. I just tell you that. You don't see the punches coming. You just don't. I mean, when Ernie Chavez hit me on the chin at the Las Vegas Showboat Hotel down there for the National Golden Gloves in 1984, I didn't see the punch. But it was the hardest I've ever hit it outside of my mother. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Check out the WBC website, WBCBoxing.com. All kinds of good stuff, cool stuff on that website.
He must know that I'm not like no other fighter. I can give it, and I can take it.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
Well, you have to talk to my lawyer on that one.
Let's get out of this hot sun into a nice, cool bar.
In a few minutes, honey.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
It's macho time.
The guitar of the mighty Jerry Cortez, Tower of Power, of course, the soul side of town. Their new LP, or one of the latest LPs, albums, CDs, drops is what Cuddy calls them, drops. So bottom line is Tower of Power has got some drops going on at towerpower.com or iTunes or wherever you get your sound. Bottom line is, tonight, of course, some fights on TV. Josh Taylor and Juan Jose Carlos Ramirez, of course, both undefeated. Ramirez 26 and zip, 17 wax. Mr. Taylor, I think, 17-0 with 13. Of course, they're going to hook it up at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN Plus and ESPN. At the end of the day, wow, I'm sort of surprised at this. You look across the board, Josh Heller, a minus 149 favorite with opening, a minus 200 favorite with Bovada. Bet Online's got a minus 245. Another sporting event, sports betting center's got a 250. So it's about 245 to 149 as far as betting on Josh Heller is concerned. You want to bet on Mr. Ramirez, it's plus 111. So you bet 100 and you get 100, you get 211 back. But it's plus 160, plus 195, plus 200. Plus the 200 is where you want to go if you're going to bet Ramirez. Obviously, you bet 100 and get 300 back if he wins. Of course, it nods never matter. Remember what the Godfather told me like 25, 30 years ago when Julio Cesar Chavez was going to fight Oscar De La Hoya. The odds don't matter at the end of the day if the right guy wins. And the right guy wins 99% of the time in boxing, according to odds makers, per se. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. You're inside looking through the world of boxing, MMA. I'm a little disappointed in the Twitch stream. Of course, the Twitch stream didn't come up here. These sports byline gurus will get together on that and try to figure this out before the next show. Hopefully before the next show. If not, we'll rock and roll next week on Twitch.tv. Of course, the Sports Byline USA channel. My name is Pedro Fernandez. There is a million things you could be doing right now. The fact you're listening to Sports Byline and Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV, well, I thank you from the bottom of my heart as you can be doing a thousand things. Straight up, boxing tonight on ESPN. Until next time, peace, love, and a ton of respect. My name is Pedro Fernandez.